for a supervisor to be able to walk into any meeting or having a drink at a networking event and be able to say something like, Chelsea never lets me get caught off guard, which I'm speaking directly about Chelsea Wyant, who I'm sure you all seen emails from. She's somebody I consider to be the right side of my body, right? My right arm. I love going places and going, Chelsea never lets me get caught off guard by anything. Chelsea's always on top of me. She doesn't do everything completely right all the time, but nobody does. But I know that I'm never going to get surprised as long as she's got my back. She's going to be around for a while, right? And so that's a great way to position yourself with anyone who's in your organization. And then lean in heavily on accusations audits. For those of you that have seen any of our classes on delivering bad news, or dropping in and ask, or setting the stage, you know that an accusations audit is a big part of that. All three of those apply to how we influence dealing with a boss, right? Making an ask, influencing the decision, setting the stage, giving them bad news. And so heavily leaning on accusations audits at the beginning is never gonna hurt. This is where the, I'm sorry, I had to drop this bomb, I got to drop this bomb at your feet. That's a specific way to start an audit with an accommodator type. When it comes to an assertive type, generally speaking, you're going to want to use mirrors throughout the conversation because they love those. However, skip the I'm sorry. Go right into, I know this is going to upset you. I'm worried this is going to be a problem. I know it's going to feel like a bomb just got set off at your feet. Right? Skip the I'm sorry. Go right into, what are the top two or three things, negative reactions that this assertive might have to my problem? I'm going to get out in front of them. I tell them exactly how they're going to feel when they hear the news. You might even be mad at me personally for having brought it to you. Go dead silent. And with that said, dynamic silence is probably, of the skills we talk about, probably the most underutilized. And while we're on the subject, think of dynamic silence as a way to create an intentional void in the conversation that puts all the pressure on the counterpart to respond. And not only respond, but respond in a timely fashion, especially when we're talking verbal interactions. And so you drop that in. I know you're not gonna like this. I'm worried. It's gonna feel like a bomb got set off at your feet. You're probably gonna be mad at me personally for having brought you the news. That's a great way to get them to not be mad at you personally for being the messenger, right? Don't get mad at the messenger. It's a great way to get out in front of that issue. You're going to be mad at the messenger. No, I'm not. You're trying to make sure we all stay on the same page, right? Of course, Josh, no. Why would I be mad at you for bringing me something that needs to be solved? Now you're on a great playing ground. You got their ears open. For an analyst, similar situation. Followed up by, I'd imagine you probably already thought through how we might want to fix this. That's how you'd want to end it with an analyst. Give them complete autonomy to do with their data, facts, and experience as they will. Because they're going to want to have a discussion about it anyway. Another synonym for a debate or even an argument is simply a focused comparison. And if we can change every interaction with the analytical type into a focused comparison about pertinent data, that's a conversation they're going to be willing to have 100 times over at an hour apiece.